Access more.
Hi, friends. It's Paula Ferris. You might remember me from Good Morning America or The View. It's okay if you don't, but I have a new view now. My husband and I moved to South Carolina with our three kids, and I'm exploring new seasons of calling. Each week, I'm joined by friends to have real, honest conversations about their stories, their struggles, and triumphs, all to encourage and empower you. We're going to be talking about what people are called to do and who they're called to be. I welcome you in to the Paula Ferris Faith and Calling Podcast. So what do you do when you're called to something that might conflict with who you are and what you stand for? Madison Pruitt, a young woman who had just graduated from seminary, is invited to go on a reality show, The Bachelor. I want you to listen to how this played out.
I got the call from The Bachelor and I had not applied. So my friends had applied me for the show. And like I said, I had never seen it before. So when I got the call, I thought it was a prank call. I was like, I think you got the wrong number. This is not the right Madison. I just graduated from seminary. Like, I don't think I'm the girl you're looking for. Like you said, I was pursuing to be a teacher and preacher of God's word.
So she goes on the show, then famously leaves the show because she reveals she's saving herself for marriage. This was season 24 of The Bachelor, by the way. Now, Maddie isn't just a pretty girl from the South. She is full of spunk and sass. She's a killer on the basketball court. She won 4 state championships, in fact. She's got grit, grace, and convictions. Yes, she's young, but yes, we can learn a lot from her.
You don't have to change yourself to be loved and accepted.
Good.
Hey, you don't have to lower your standards. Hey, you don't have to just conform to look like everybody else to fit in or to be someone or to be seen as valuable or cool or important. You can actually just be all that you are, and that's enough.
I loved meeting Maddie for the very first time and getting to know her. We talk about her new book. It's called Made for This Moment. Also, why did a girl who had just graduated from seminary decide to do the show? And can you really fall in love on The Bachelor? I mean, come on. Here's Madison Pruitt, aka Mad Dog. Maddie, it's so good to meet you. You're in Alabama, Sweet Home Alabama right now.
I am. I'm in Sweet Home Alabama. I rarely get to come home, so it's been so nice just being here with my family. And I am doing my first book signing tonight, which is so exciting.
This is your debut book. Is that weird to say, my book?
When I saw it for the first time, I actually saw the physical book in my hands for the first time a few days ago. And I was so emotional. I just started breaking down crying. Mm. And my team has never seen me cry before. So they're like, oh, is everything okay?
Like, what's wrong?
No, this is crazy. You know, like, you put so much into it and you've prayed so much for it. And I'm just so hopeful of just what it can be and who it can reach and who it can help. And it's vulnerable writing. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm not a very vulnerable person. So like writing was like my experience with vulnerability, right? Like I'm like, oh my gosh, I am writing things that I've never opened up and really shared with anyone before. And so, and it's just things that have been going on in your mind for so long. And you're like, wow, I'm actually putting this onto paper where people can read it. Like it's so vulnerable. And in that way, it's a little intimidating.
I find it ironic. You say you're not vulnerable, but then you go on The Bachelor. It's like you just got to put yourself out there.
I know. Sounds a little contradicting. I know.
So Maddie, for people that don't know you, you're the girl who walked away from the fantasy suite. Like that's kind of how you've been labeled, right?
A little bit. So yeah. Or the girl, who broke up with The Bachelor, and that was a whole moment. But yes, and honestly, that was one of the hardest weeks of my life. I think the main question that I get asked is like, you know, kind of even what you're alluding to is, so why would you go on The Bachelor? You know, if you have the morals and the convictions and the beliefs that you have, and you know, if you're not a very vulnerable person, if you are a private person, like that doesn't really make sense, right? And I talk about all of that in my book because it was one of the most interesting and hardest seasons of my entire life.
Right.
And really just a season of trust. Like it was really where I felt led to go. I had a piece about going, had no idea it was going to look the way that it looked.
Right.
Let me tell you,
right.
I had actually never seen the show before other than like snippet, like small little parts of episodes.
You'd never seen the show and then you decide to go on The Bachelor.
No.
Oh my gosh.
Crazy. It's actually crazy when I say it out loud and think about it, but it was one of those things that like I said, I just had so much peace about it. And mm-hmm. I really felt just led to do it. I was honestly like, I don't even want to watch this. Like, I just kind of want to go and just see. And so I went into it fully, just no expectations,
right?
Completely, honestly, unaware and a little bit ignorant, but just hopeful and kind of open-handed of like, okay, God, like, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. It's like, I say that's willful ignorance. It's like, I'm choosing to not really look into it. So you were a finalist on season 24 of The Bachelor with Peter Weber, and you were studying to be a pastor at the time. And yet you wind up on one of the most secular shows in America. So I know you said you wrote about it in the book and you write about it in the book, but how did that happen?
So it's funny. I can remember the moment like it was yesterday when I was actually working out in the gym and I got the call from The Bachelor, and I had not applied. So my friends had applied me for the show. And like I said, I had never seen it before. So when I got the call, I thought it was a prank call. I was like, I think you got the wrong number. This is not the right Madison. I just graduated from seminary. Like, I don't think I'm the girl you're looking for. Like you said, I was pursuing to be a teacher and preacher of God's word. Like, that's what I imagined for myself. I had just come out of a 4-year relationship from a guy that was a student's pastor. So that was kind of what I had imagined. I'm either going to be a pastor or I'm going to marry a pastor. And so when I got the call from The Bachelor, I mean, I was like, absolutely not. You know, I didn't even really go there in my mind. Didn't even really consider it. Called my mom immediately thinking she was going to be like, no, you're not going on that show. Absolutely not. And instead, which actually surprised me, she was like, you know, you should never close the door until you take a second to pray about it. And I was like, okay. Well, I wasn't expecting that answer.
And so, definitely not from your mother.
Exactly. You know, and I was like, Mom, what in the world? And I can just like hear my sister in the background, like screaming, like, you have to do it. And I'm like, there's no way. Like, I'm not doing this. And I was honestly so close to it. And I even told, you know, the girl on the phone, I was like, no, like, this is not for me. I think you need to find someone else. And they just continued to pursue. And I continued to talk to my family about it. And then, you know, the rest is history. I ended up going on it. But yeah, it was a crazy journey.
You truly felt like you were called to do The Bachelor.
Truly.
And that sounds like such a contradiction, right? You just graduated from seminary and you're going on The Bachelor. How do you explain that peace that you had, that you knew you were supposed to do something that kind of contradicted with who you're about? Like, for those that are wrestling with, I feel like I'm called to this space, but this space is a little dark and I might need to go disrupt it, but it's a little uncomfortable for me. How did you know that you were supposed to do this, even though it really was a contradiction to who you are?
I love that question. And really, it is a really hard thing to answer, like, you know, and it is something that I wrestled with for a while with people, because I mean, even when people started hearing about me going on the show, like, I got a lot of criticism and a lot of people who fully did not agree with it, thought I had lost my mind. This doesn't make sense. This is not who you are. If you do this, you're this, you're that. And it was a really hard place to be in, because I felt attacked not only from like the world and people who didn't understand my faith and beliefs, but also from the church and the church not understanding why I would want to put myself in an environment like The Bachelor. And so it was a really tense place to be, but I always tell people, and it really is one of those things that's really hard to explain, but I always say, like, let peace be your answer and always be led by peace. When you're praying about something and you can't get it off your mind in a positive way, like you can't sleep and it just constantly comes back to you. You feel this crazy, just burden for, you know, this person or this thing or this generation or whatever it is that you can't really explain. And even though it seems so outside of the box for you, you have just this crazy, just longing and peace to be a part of it.
Right.
And I couldn't explain it to you. And honestly, like, I would even have conversations with God and be like, no, like, I would seriously be like, no,
you're like, gonna have to choose. I know better.
Someone else. Yeah.
I know better.
I'm like, no, God, actually, I think you're confused. Like, I think you're confused, God, because, like, have you seen the show? Like, I don't think I fit in there. And honestly, you know, the way that Christianity had been depicted previously, you know, on the show and any type of really show had not been in a very positive light. And so that was intimidating. I was like, okay, so I don't know how I'm going to be portrayed. I don't know how people are going to respond to my faith and my conviction. So it was a really scary thing to step into. But like I said, you know, even if it is outside of your comfort zone and even if it is outside of the box, like if you have that strong relationship with God and it's something you're praying through, God's going to give you that peace and that courage and that strength that you need to step into it. And for me, even though it truly didn't make sense and it didn't align with what I had kind of like played out for myself. I mean, I had had my, and I'm a control freak and I had had my whole life planned out. I had everything lined up. And when I felt like God was leading me there, it truly didn't make sense. But it was one of those things that I was like, okay, I trust you and I surrender to you above my own desires and above my own plans and purposes for my life. And I just trust that where you're leading me, like you'll provide, you'll sustain, you'll give me what I need kind of through that process. And I truly saw that happen. It's a hard thing to answer, but
yeah. You followed the peace that you had in your spirit, even though it didn't make sense. But I do want to talk about how you were portrayed on the show. And for those that didn't watch your season, you're one of the finalists with Peter Weber. He was a pilot. I'm going to reveal, like, I've only watched a couple of seasons of The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, but it is a guilty pleasure every now and then when I have time. I did not watch this season. So tell everybody what happened. You were a finalist. And if you're familiar with the show, there's the fantasy suite. And that's usually when things get hot and heated on a physical and intimate level.
Yes. Just to kind of give a little bit of context, I got the very first one-on-one date. And so we had the first date from the beginning and I actually met his whole family and I met all of his friends and it was actually for his parents' vow renewal. So it was like a big deal.
Hello, first date.
I literally was so confused. I walked up and I see like this ceremony and I'm like, what are we like about to get married? I was so confused. I was like, what's happening? And it was a really cool thing to be a part of. But I think from that moment, Peter and I had a very just deep bond because I had seen a side of him and I had gotten to meet the most important people in his life from the very beginning that no one else got to experience and got to do. Honestly, I'm going through each week constantly wrestling in my mind because I'm a very logical person. I'm not a very emotional, feelings-based person. And I feel like usually on the show, that's kind of what it's about. You know, it's like just whatever you feel, like do whatever you feel and just kind of go off your feelings. And that's not how I'm wired. I'm very logical. I think through everything. So I'm constantly wrestling, you know, throughout the show of, does this make sense? Do our beliefs align? You know, do we have an aligned vision and purpose for our life? You know, is he the man that I've waited for and prayed for my whole life? And so I'm constantly wrestling throughout the show. He tells me that he's falling in love with me. And that was when it really hit me like, wow, this is real. He's about to meet my family. He's falling in love with me. We're like two and a half, three weeks away.
Was it really, can I ask this though? Like, can you really fall in love with somebody in that short period of time in front of cameras?
The crazy thing is, and it doesn't make sense unless you're in the environment. But the crazy thing is you really do have emotions that you've never felt before. And I mean, listen, it's TV and it is like you're having these extravagant dates and like, you know, everyone knows exactly how you're wired. So, so, you know, what gets you excited, what makes you upset. So you're experiencing things that bond you together in a way that you've probably never really experienced in a relationship before. And so it is creating this like really weird bond. I don't really know how to explain it. And so, yeah, you do have these feelings of, you know, oh my gosh, I really do love this person. But then at least for me, like if I didn't have my logical side, then I probably would have been like, I love you, you know, but I have my like insane, logical side that's like, wait, does this make sense? What is life outside of this TV show? What would this look like?
What's life outside of this love bubble? Right?
Exactly. When you go into the normal work life and, you know, everyday life. And so I was constantly going back and forth with that. And after he told me he was falling in love with me, I was like, okay, I know a lot's going to be dependent for me of when he meets my family. My family knows me best. I know he's going to ask my dad for his blessing. And if my dad says no, then that's a no for me because my dad is my ride or die. And so we go into hometowns and we have a great hometowns date, but he has a conversation with my family. My dad doesn't give his blessing. you know, ooh, we go into the next week and I find out my dad doesn't give his blessing. So then I kind of know at that point, I'm not going to say yes to an engagement. And then I'm struggling because I'm like, but I really love, like, I really do care for this person. I hadn't said I love you or anything, but I really did care for him deeply. And so I'm kind of going back and forth. I'm like, I don't really know what to do. And we go into, after the rose ceremony, going into Fantasy Suite Leaks, I was like, I need to have a conversation with him to tell him I'm not going to be able to move forward in this relationship if he were to be intimate with the other women. Right. And so I sit down with him and I'm like, hey, I'm not trying to tell you what you can or can't do. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to, you know, make it any kind of decision for you. All I'm saying is if you want me and if it's me that you're wanting to choose, I can't move forward in this if you are to be intimate with the other women. And so I was super honest. I was super transparent. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm not making any type of decisions for you. Maybe this seems unfair. I don't really know. I'm just being honest. And so then we go into that Fantasy Suite week. I get the very last date. I find out that he has been intimate with the other women. Ultimately, it leads to me walking away and leaving the show and breaking up with him. And he proceeds to get engaged. And then after his engagement, he realizes he's still in love with me. And so he breaks off his engagement. Chris Harrison flies to my house and is like, hey, Peter's still in love with you. And I'm like, wait, what?
What?
And so, yeah. And he tells me everything. He's like, he got engaged. He broke off his engagement. He wants to be with you. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what's happening? And so, you know, I'm trying to figure out what I should do. And I was like, okay, if I go talk to Peter, that doesn't mean we're getting back together. Like, there's a lot that we got to talk through and figure out, but I'm down to have a conversation. And so they fly me out to LA. We have a conversation, and then that's what goes into the finale where we're still undecided.
Do you like how they portrayed you? Because you talked about one of the struggles that you had even joining the show was that they kind of portray Christians or anyone that's holding to some sort of certain belief when it comes to their physicality and sexuality or intimacy, you're kind of portrayed like a freak. Do you think it's fair how they portrayed you?
I do. I will say I didn't really give them anything to work with. So like, I was very intentional with my words and with my actions. And I knew, you know, again, I knew God had called me to go on the show. I didn't really know what for. I didn't really know the extent or the impact or anything like that, that it would have. And more than anything, I do know that a lot of people have reached out and have felt impacted by, you know, my beliefs and convictions. But also more than anything, it changed my heart. And I feel like I grew a lot as a person. But, you know, through those moments, I was constantly thinking through, you know, how can I say this in a way to where it can, like, Peter can receive this, you know, and in a way where it's not coming across as, you know, this is what you have to do, or that I'm judging you, or that I'm better than you, or anything like that, because that's not true. I just wanted to convey, this is just who I am, and yep, I'm going to be undeniably me. Like, I'm never going to change who I am for someone else. And so this is me, and either you choose me or you don't choose me, but I know who I am. And so I'm not going to, like, lower myself, lower my standards, lower my expectations for anyone. I don't care if I'm on The Bachelor or not on The Bachelor. I did kind of withhold a lot of information until the end. I never really had a piece to share it until the end, which I definitely got a little bit criticized for, but I never felt like the timing was right. I didn't feel like it was right until, you know, we had a moment where the relationship really felt real to me. And when I felt that piece of like, okay, now's the time to open up and share, I'm saving myself for marriage, and open up and share, hey, my relationship with God isn't just a religion. It's actually like my entire life. Like, it's a lifestyle. It's how I live my life. It's the choices I make, the values that I have, the relationships that I create. Like, everything is based on that foundation of my belief and love for Jesus. And so I got to explain that and share that towards the end of this season. And I really, truly did feel like I was portrayed in a good manner. I think what's funny, though, is most people in watching the show definitely thought I was like a sweet home Alabama Southern little just cute, sweet girl. And I'm like, actually, I'm a fireball and I'm a challenger. And I don't put up with crap. And so I'm a competitive, like, athlete.
You mentioned that you've got a lot of sass and spunk. You won 4 state high school basketball championships. Your dad was your coach, and your dad is part of the basketball program at Auburn University. And I want to talk about that in just a second. But what do you think, when you look back at that season of life on The Bachelor. What do you think your purpose was in that season?
I think that there was a lot of different purposes. I feel like for me, I was able to not only have amazing and beautiful conversations with the contestants and with Peter, but also through my ability to kind of just like stand in courage and stand firm in my convictions and beliefs. I feel like it kind of encouraged a generation
right.
of especially women of like, hey, you don't have to change yourself to be loved and accepted. Hey, you don't have to lower your standards. Hey, you don't have to just conform to look like everybody else to fit in or to be someone or to be seen as valuable or cool or important. You can actually just be all that you are, and that's enough.
Oh, that's
and you
so
can be
good.
All that you are and know that you already belong, that you're already loved, and that you're already chosen. And you can actually love and live from that place of abundance rather mm-hmm. than coming from a place of lack, trying to latch on to other people or to other things, hoping, oh my gosh, like, tell me who I am. Tell me that I'm accepted. Tell me that I'm enough. Tell me that I belong. And I feel like God was able to, and it wasn't me. Like, even when people, you know, ask me, and I feel like it's like that stereotype of like, oh, it was God. But like, seriously, I mean, he really gave me like the strength that I needed.
Right.
And the courage that I needed. Like, I was terrified. Like, there were moments mm-hmm. where I was like, no, I can't do this. Like, I was so scared. And I have that spunky competitive personality, but there were moments where I felt so defeated and so weak and just totally unqualified. And that was kind of my heart, even in writing this book, because that was the number one question I got asked when I came off the show. I'm talking thousands and thousands of people asking me, how are you able to stay true to yourself? How yeah. are you able to stand firm under pressure? And even though most people's lives doesn't look like them going on a reality TV show and millions of people watching their dating life play out, I would at least hope not. You know, even though their situations and circumstances on the outside may not look the exact same as mine, we all face temptations and pressures.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
I faced a lot of temptations and pressures before the whole world was watching me. You know, mm-hmm. I face a lot of temptations and pressures now, you know, in my everyday life. And so even though it might not look the exact same on the outside, it leaves the same wrestles and feelings on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I wanted to address in this book is no matter what you've been through, no matter what you face, no matter what labels and things other people have put on you, you were made for this moment and you were made on purpose and for a purpose. And God intentionally put you together. And there's a reason that you're here yeah. and you have something valuable to give. And I just want people to walk in confidence and see themselves the way that God sees them and to know that they are a part of something so much bigger than themselves. And I've just seen so many people, including the girls on the show, and you would look at them and be like, they are the most beautiful girls I've ever seen. And I would even sit there and be like, why are you insecure right now? You're yeah. seriously the most stunning human being I've ever seen. But they would come to me and be like, wait, how are you so confident? How are you so joyful?
Uh-huh.
How are you at peace right now? And I got to be like, God, like it actually has nothing to do with what I look like, because right now I actually don't feel cute with the 45 pimples on my face because I haven't gotten any sleep. But, you know, I got to just be like, you know, all of this is from like the source, the true source is like my relationship with God and practicing that and choosing that and walking that out every day.
You're really passionate about this message, which I love. Everyone wants to know how they can stand true to their convictions and stay true to themselves and not compromise who they are. And this is something that you lived out very publicly, yes, on The Bachelor, but you also say it's not just who you are when nobody's watching, it's who you are when everyone is watching. How can we prepare yeah. to stand firm and stay true to who we are, Maddie?
So many of us kind of go off of either pressures or feelings. And then we find ourselves later down the road, what follows is resentment or regret or mm-hmm, shame or mm-hmm. guilt. I think a lot of us find ourselves there when we are just kind of going off of the pressures of what the world tells us to do or what everyone else is doing, or off of, you know, even our feelings and what we feel right here, right now. The way we respond to pressure matters, but the way we prepare matters just as much. And how we invest in ourselves, you know, asking ourselves, who am I? What do I value? What kind of life do I want to live? And that was a moment for me that I actually had when I was in college, and I knew that I was going to be faced with a lot of pressures, a lot of temptations. It's my first time being like fully free, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, so I can do whatever I want to do. And I just remember sitting in my dorm room one night and I was like, okay, I don't want to just do whatever. I want to really think about the choices that I'm going to make, because I don't want to find myself, you know, in a couple months from now being like, why did I do that? And who have I become? And so I asked myself the hard questions. And in those moments, I presented myself with scenarios and I was like, okay, if I'm alone in a room with a guy, you know, what am I going to do in that moment when I'm at a party and everyone's doing, you know, this over here, what am I going to do in that moment? If I'm, you know, and just presented myself with a lot of different scenarios and asked myself the tough questions. Who are you? What do you value? What do you believe? And then from that place, let that lead your decisions and your choices and what you decide to do and how you respond in the moment. And I think pre-deciding and knowing what you value before moments of pressure and before moments of temptation is actually what sets you up for success.
That's really good.
It's just like athletics. It's like, okay, if, you know, game's on the line and you're down by one and you have a chance to make the game winning shot, you're not going to just hope that you have what it takes. Like, you're not just going to go off of adrenaline in that moment. Like, you're going to feel confident because of the way you've been preparing. And I know, at least for me, like, my dad wouldn't put me on the free throw line to knock down the game-winning free throw if I hadn't been practicing in the gym every single night preparing for that very moment. And I think that that is kind of my hope and encouragement to so many people is preparation is so important. Your decisions and thinking about who you want to be and thinking about what you value before those life-defining and big pressure and big temptation moments arrive so that you know how to respond when they do come.
You just mentioned stepping up and knocking down the game-winning free throws. And people look at you and they're like, oh, she's a pretty face from Alabama. Little do they know you are a killer on the court. I mean, an absolute killer. You won 4 state championships. When people see you and they don't know you've played basketball and then they see you on the basketball court and how you handle the ball, are they surprised?
Yes. everyone, when they first meet me, I think they think, if they don't know anything about me, you know, they think I'm, you know, a cheerleader, or a lot of people would say a volleyball. And I'm like, well, you know, I kind of dabbled into honestly both of those things, but basketball was always my thing. And no one ever would like peg me as a basketball girl, but I was a feisty little thing. Everyone hated playing against me. Like, the other teams hated me because my favorite thing was defense. So I would just be like all up in their face 24/7, just like a little leech, like attached to them. It actually led to some really cool moments. My dad being my coach, we had a lot of really awesome moments together. And, you know, I think a lot of who I am today, you know, is a testament to not only him, but to being able to play for him and having him as my coach. I had to get strong fast because he was so hard on me, way harder on me than anyone else. And there were moments where as a teenager, I would, you know, come home telling my mom, like, I quit. I don't want to play for dad anymore. This is too hard. I want to quit. I give up. And then I would be right back out there the next day practicing.
Yep. That's good. I love Maddie Pruitt. You have fire, you have spunk, you have sass, you have it all. If I could give you a choice, two topics, what would you rather talk about? The Bachelor or basketball?
Okay, well, either way, I could turn it into an encouraging lesson. I would say, because my life has been kind of consumed with The Bachelor lately, I would say I have more fun talking about basketball and talking about everything that I learned through that. And, and even being a part, I still, you know, am a part of just like what my dad does at Auburn. I still help him, like in the summers, I'll lead like some of the basketball camps. That's just like so much fun to me. And it's something that I don't get to do a lot. And so I love being around it and talking about it. But I have learned to, because at first I did not enjoy talking about The Bachelor, but I have learned to see that as part of my story as a beautiful thing and see it as a way to hopefully just encourage and love on and inspire other people through my weaknesses and my strength and in the moments where I did great on the show and moments where I didn't do so great. And so, you know, hopefully, you know, being able to talk about both, but for a while I struggled talking about The Bachelor, but either way I can talk either way, but I love talking about basketball, and that's just like a huge part of my family.
If the show were to ask you to come back on as The Bachelorette, would you consider? And I guess I should ask if you're single and ready to mingle, or are you in a relationship?
I am single, always ready to mingle. If you have any recommendations, you just let a girl know. I'm extremely picky, extremely picky.
What are you looking for? Obviously, they have to match you in athleticism and wit, and for you need somebody strong, because otherwise you'll steamroll them, correct? I'm kind of getting that vibe.
Yeah. Right. And that's the problem is it is hard to find a great combination of all those things and someone who like really, really loves God, mm-hmm. And someone who loves kids, you know, and wants to have a family. And I worked in foster care and adoption for a little while. So I know I want to adopt. I know I want to have kids. So someone who also loves kids and wants to have a big family. But other than that, I mean, just someone who can make me laugh, someone who can challenge me, kind of give it back to me. Like you said, I can't be with anyone who's like, you know, just puppy dog, like following me around. He's got to be firm. He's got to have his thing too. Do something impactful with his life. So yeah.
Okay.
those are kind of my thoughts.
Where should we send applications to?
You can send it out. You can slide in the DMs. And I can't tell you. You can vet through them.
Okay. I've got a couple of options. Maddie Pruitt wants to be the Bachelorette. Would you do that?
Oh my gosh.
Or are you done with the show?
So I have been asked to go back on and I respectfully declined.
You did?
It did.
Okay. So how long ago was that? And would the decision be the same today?
It's happened a couple of times. I just would never step into, like I said, I'm always a believer of being led by peace. So I would never step into something just to do it and just like, yeah, we'll see. You know, like it definitely would have to be something that I feel like God is leading me to and guiding mm-hmm. me to. I think I'm good. Like, I think I've seen what I need to see.
I'm all good.
And I'm like, you know, if there is someone in that space that like sees me and they're like, oh, she's cool, she's cute, then, you know, like hit me up on the DMs. Like, I don't feel like I need to like go back through all of that again.
Is this how 20-somethings date? You just hit somebody up on the Instagram DMs?
unfortunately, yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's so lame. Like, come up with something really a little more creative, right?
It really is, but it's like my life is so crazy and busy that I'm moving so much that I'm like, I really don't know how anyone else would ever come in contact with me
right.
unless it's through that.
All right. If you have a suggestion for Maddie, you heard her requirements, just make sure they slide into her DMs. Yeah. There you go. That's how you can reach her. Should I call you Maddie or Madison?
Oh, Maddie just seems
Mad
like
dog.
We're friends. So let's
Mad
go.
Dog.
So it's funny. I actually had that all throughout high school. Everyone would call me Mad Dog and it kind of like fell off. Then everyone called me Maddie or my middle name's Rose. So then a lot of my girlfriends would call me Maddie Rose. Aww. And then now recently it's picked back up with a bunch of my friends, Mad Dog. And then they do like, hoo, hoo, after. Like all of my friends now are like Mad Dog, hoo, hoo. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's like so embarrassing. Like just walking around like barking. I'm like, oh my gosh, people are going to think we're crazy. But yeah, so it, you know, just whatever comes out. Honestly, there's a lot of different nicknames. Mads. I get Mads a lot.
I like Mad Dog. So, by the way, my middle name is Rose as well. Paula
oh
Rose.
Mm-hmm. Wait, that's great. Mm-hmm. See, I knew. I mean, there's something there.
There is a connection there.
There is a connection.
And you're young enough to be my daughter.
I was born in 1996.
Okay, great. That's when I was a junior in college. I graduated college in 97. You could have been my college love child.
Maddie, oh, we love that.
Maddie Rose.
We love that.
Named after her mother. It's been such a delight. You're nothing of what I expected. Truly.
Really?
Yeah. It's funny because a couple of my dear friends who I trust their judgment, they're like, you should really have Maddie Pruitt on the show. And I'm like, I don't watch The Bachelor a ton, but yeah. I'm not going to judge anybody that does because I have, and it's a guilty pleasure. I didn't really know a ton about your story. And then I started digging and they're like, trust me, you would hit it off with her. And we have hit it off. So
oh
I am
gosh.
Delighted.
I'm so glad.
You're awesome.
I'm glad that I didn't meet the, I actually get that a lot. It's so funny that I'm never what people expect. So I don't really know if that's a bad thing or a good thing, but I'm going to roll with it as a good thing. So
it's a good thing. It also shows that we're a little judgy, probably coming totally. To like, oh, she's beautiful. She's got it all together. She was probably a cheerleader or played volleyball. Little did they know you were Mad Dog.
I was Mad Dog on the court.
You're Mad
Definitely
Dog.
Definitely some barks after that, for sure.
All right, Maddie. Oh, this
Thank
has been
you
awesome.
Thank you so much for having me. I had
oh
so much
gosh,
fun.
Oh my gosh, this is great.
Amazing. Okay, you're the best.
Her new book is released today. It's called Made for This Moment, Standing Firm with Strength, Grace, and Courage. It is a great book for anyone, but especially for young people in your life. And I really took to heart what she said about preparing for who you are, the type of person you want to be, and what you value by going through the scenarios ahead of time, game planning what you're going to do when those situations actually arise. I thought that was excellent advice. And in a moment of honesty, you guys, I didn't know much about her. Yes, she has a massive following. I don't watch The Bachelor all that often, but a couple of my friends whom I trust encouraged me to have her on the podcast, and I'm so glad that I did. And I think you are too after hearing Maddie open up. I want you to tell me your takeaway on my Instagram page. And next week, my guest, he cried 3 times during our conversation, talking about the ups and downs of life, how he is not equipped to live life in the public eye, but he's a professional athlete. I'll give you one hint, he's a Masters of Champions. I'm Paula Ferris, and it's an honor to do this life with you.